Dearest brethren, God bless you. I am Dora, and I will translate today a live message which Brother Joseph gives on radioblast.net. I'm just greeting him. Good morning, Brother Joseph. You are invited to Radio Blast. And Joseph answers, thank you for your invitation. You are wonderful. I'm glad to be here. But maybe the people got tired of me. You always invite me every weekend. No, they didn't get tired. Angela saying. So what do we have today? What are we going to do today? What a surprise we're going to do today for the brethren. Angela saying, as far as I understood, the Lord gave you a message this morning. You received a message this morning about how to have a clean heart, a pure heart. That's what the message is about this weekend. So let's start with a message right away. Get right into it. Joseph is saying this message is about the spiritual growth, how to get close to Jesus, how to be close to Him through the day. We need this kind of messages. We receive all kind of letters from brethren, married brethren, who have all kinds of problems. And I think with this message, maybe we could go to the root of things, of problems. If a tree has lots of bad fruits, if we start cutting away one fruit at a time, one bad fruit at a time, we might never make it. But if we go straight to the root, we might be able to save it. When we read a gospel, it's not like reading a book. You read the gospel, and there you find principles. Every scripture is a foundation. Every scripture is a truth which you can on which you can build on for eternity. With this message today, I would like to go to the root of our bad stuff that's happening in our life. Why the marriage doesn't work, why we have problems of depression, why do we have problems with everything and everybody around us, and especially with ourselves. And why do we have problems with God? So let's go to the root. Let's start with the scripture. 1 Timothy 1:5. Now the end of the commandment is love, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of a faith unfeigned. Sincere, in other words. This is the goal. Matthew 23:5. But all their works they, the Pharisees, do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. It's saying here, Jesus, that the Pharisees of yesterday and today, they make their works to be seen of men. They go on balconies. They go on balconies and they bless people and they throw holy water on them. They read sermons which the secretary typed up. They take sermons out of the freezer. And then they preach it. Then the supermarket closes. The church closes. And everybody goes in the world. And you never know who's a Christian and who's not. So Jesus says here that the Pharisees do things to be seen of men. Matthew 6:5-7 is the answer of Jesus to this. You know, this problem of hypocrisy, we are all guilty of, not just the Pharisees. This is the solution to this. Matthew 6:5-7. And when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. The reward which we have, if we pray to be seen, then our only reward will be the clapping of the hands we receive. That's it. 6. But you, when you prayest, enter into your closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. There is a moment to pray together. But that's secondary. Because when I pray with my brethren, you know, I pray so I can be heard. You're going to listen to me. So I need to pray in a way that you can understand me. And in a good way I need to pray, because people are going to hear me. When I pray alone, it's different. I pray differently when I pray alone. Lightnings against the devil, I curse you in Jesus' name, all you demons. But I cannot pray like that in public. Maybe other brethren who hear me might say I am too tough, or I don't know. I want to talk a little bit also about our character. The character of a soldier is formed on the battlefield. His character is not formed on a bench listening to the theories, but on the battlefield. That's why it's important to be trained on the battlefield in the Spirit. Today I want to talk about how to form our own character in Christ. When we are born, there is a certain character we are having. Then we grow in school, and we go to school, and our character is formed after the society around us, politics and sports and all the silliness around, or the discotheque or whatnot, or the TV. Your character is formed by the peers around you who don't believe in Christ and so on. But all this character is good for nothing. It's good for nothing, this character. But if you're a good seed, even if your character is formed by the world in a worldly way, Jesus comes, and because you're a good seed, you receive him and you get saved. So we need to form our character in Christ. Our character cannot be made by the world. How do you form your character in Christ? This is what I want to talk about this morning. This is what gives us the strength to overcome the mark of the beast. I will die, but I will not accept it. That character which makes us not give up, that character which makes us fighting against the devil or against even brethren who are not in God's will, the word will tell you if you are right or not. You know, oftentimes there are brethren around you who don't counsel you from the Lord. That's why the word is very important, and then you recognize and discern it. That's why it's very important you create your character for Christ, so then you can be strong against what's coming. So how can we create our own character? We are forming our character from the way in which we are behaving ourselves in our intimacy, in our hearts. We mold our characters from the things we do, from our actions, from how we think in our hearts, from how we are sincere or insincere, by how we love our wives or no. The bad we do in our family, it will come back to us. God will be careful. God will take care of us. If we mistreat people, it will come back on us. Whatever we sow, we shall reap. Our actions are like a boomerang. The Bible says that lack of forgiveness which you have against your husband or wife, you know, it will come back to you. If today you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven tomorrow. Let's read Psalm 19:12-13. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. If you don't forsake your sin, it will have dominion over you. That's why it's very important. It's very important you forsake your sins. 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. The meditation of my heart. What we meditate on, the way we meditate, what we meditate in our hearts, it's going to form our character. If you meditate on the wrong things, for example, that neighbor of yours with high heels, that will form your character. And then you go to your wife and you say, I love you, but your love is false. You're a hypocrite. You need to fight against these things. What you meditate in your heart forms your character. If you read the Bible, but you think about the TV, you're a hypocrite. Your character is being formed as a hypocrite. What I tell to you, I tell to myself. Our real self, not what we show to others, but our real self, our true prayers also are not those which we pray in public. As I was saying earlier, that's why the preachers who preach and bless the masses from the windows are like the politics, like the politicians, more or less. They're the same. There's not much difference. The real I, it's another one, the one which works in the secret. When nobody sees, when nobody knows, that's the real you. He who prays in secret and meditates in secret of things. If we teach ourselves, and then we're an example for our family, an example for our children and for our church, to be honest with God when nobody looks at us. If we will do what we know that we have to do, if our conscience tells us that it's the right thing to do, and if we do that when nobody sees us, when nobody claps hands to us, and not to do it only because God will bless us, but just do it because you know it's the right thing to do. Because we love justice. Because we hate the hypocrisy. If we do it, not because God will repay us. I give him 10, he's going to give me 100. Like those false preachers of the gospel of prosperity say. So I recommend this to you, brethren. Don't do things like the gospel of prosperity tells you. It's like witchcraft, that, or selling drugs, you know. No, you give to God to sacrifice, okay? It's not that you give to God so he can give back to you. No, you sacrifice to God and that's it. Like an animal, you sacrifice him and that's it. It's not that you're going to get 10 animals back. Let's do it just because it's right. We sacrifice because it's right, because righteousness is our goal. And if we do it, God will repay us, but not because we are looking for the repayment. But we do it for something higher, higher than the blessings. What's higher than the blessings of God? People will say, well, is there something higher? No, no. Yes, there is. There is something higher than the blessings of God. Angela says, having his love. Having his love. That's more important than his blessings. Joseph says, exactly. We need to do something more high than the heavenly rewards. Better than having big crowns in the heaven given by God. And what is that? If we do what is right in front of God, no matter what the cost is, you do what's right, no matter how hard the cross is, how difficult the Calvary is, you do it because you know it's right. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There had no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that you are able. But with the temptation also, he will make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. The devil says, but if you give God everything, good night, you're not going to go and sleep under a bridge because you want to give God everything, you might end up sleeping under a bridge. You will end up with nothing if you give everything to God. That's terrible what you want to do. You know how many times I was with nothing? One time I was, my only possession was a caravan sleeping in a camping. That's all I had. And a couple of suitcases. But you know what? I'm one of the richest in the world. I'm one of the richest people in the world because I have the Lord. I don't need to pay many taxes because I don't possess hardly anything. You You know, many times the devil told me, you with your six kids are going to end up under a bridge the way you are going. But it never happened. God provided. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord this morning there was always a piece of bread on the table, a plate of pasta also, a piece of meat sometimes there is. We have a sack of beans. We will eat some beans once in a while also. God always provided. I never ended up under a bridge with my kids. God provides, brethren. What are you worrying about? One guy told Richard Wurmbrand, I cannot go to church and I cannot do things for God because I have a piece of land to take care of. Then I have my house to take care of. I have my farm to take care of. I have my family and my kids to take care of. And I cannot serve God also. And then Richard Wurmbrand told him, why don't you give away everything? And then you'll have time for God. You think that you own a land? No, the land owns you. You don't have any free time for God. And directly, the government controls you through that land. Taxes on this, taxes on that. That land possesses you because you have no more time for God. I remember I was in Colombia, and I didn't have much money. I was evangelizing here and there, but the money was low. But the minimum necessary there was. And food was expensive in Colombia. I was in Barranquilla, in a city. I was by the border with Venezuela. And at lunchtime, the food was expensive. But one time it happened by accident that instead of stopping 12:30, 1 o'clock, it happened one time that I continued evangelizing even after 1 o'clock until 1:30, 2 o'clock. So I walked in to our house. I was evangelizing. And they said, oh, you want to talk to us about God? Come in, come in. We're just about to eat. We invite you also to eat. So they invited me to eat right away. And I prayed with them to receive Jesus in their hearts. And you know what? I learned something. You know, in Matthew 10, it says, go and see who is worthy and there in that house abide. So at lunchtime, I was going around evangelizing to these houses, nice houses. The first or second, third house, I started to evangelize and they were always inviting me to eat. The Lord always provided. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Do not be afraid. God is faithful and He will take care of you. It's not that you need to take care of your possessions. Don't take care of your possessions. Take care of God's possessions, the sheep. Otherwise, the possessions of this world will possess you. But if you are like Jesus, having nothing of this world, you wake up in the morning fresh like a rose. Oh, today I don't have any headaches. Oh, Matteo Renzi, how much taxes does he want from me today? You will not think of this. You will think about Jesus. You will think about Jesus and you will think about the Bible. You won't take your calculator to calculate your taxes. Hebrews 11:11, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him faithful who had promised. So let's go to the next. If we do God's will in our lives and only for the reason that we love God, that to be the only reason, only because we want to see our Heavenly Father happy, only because we want to be hugged by Him more than anything else in this world, instead of doing nothing, instead of doing anything for interest, you know, you do things for God for interest. Not because He'll bless you. No, you do it because you love Him and you want His progress, God's progress, not your progress. You don't want your interest to come to pass, but God's interest. So, if we do God's will in our lives, just because we desire God's kingdom's progress and not our progress, if we are putting all our hearts to do this, even if we don't make it to the end, but to make it, to do this, but we will have tried with all our hearts, then, you know what? Jesus will have some wonderful words for us. Once we arrive in heaven, God will have wonderful words for us if you do your best to do this, you know? And, you know, it's worth all the sacrifices that you do for Christ. Even if you were to die 1,000 deaths and 1,000 Calvaries going through, is worth it. It's worth it just to hear these following words. These are the words. Matthew 25:23. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Wonderful words. Quite different from Laodicea, "I will vomit you out of my mouth," right? This is a different music. If we trust in God, we know that we cannot do all these things by ourselves. We can't. I can't. But if we believe in Jesus and we trust in Him that He will help us, then look what Jesus says. Look what Jesus says if we do our best. If we do whatever we can. This is what Jesus is telling you. Hebrews 13:5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." John 10:28. "And I give unto them," my sheep, "eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." This is what the Lord will tell us. This is what Jesus will tell us if we give ourselves entirely to Him. To who else can you give yourself entirely? To the government? So you can dedicate your life to pay taxes? To Renzi? Or to whatever, the President of the United States, whoever it is? These politicians didn't understand that more money they make, more curses they'll have. So Jesus is the only one worth giving yourself to. Romans 8:31-39. "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" So the theme of today is consecration, making your character in Christ, and not being afraid to throw yourselves in the arms of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will see that God will provide and take care of you, okay? I'm talking about God supporting you, taking care of you, giving yourself to Him, consecrating yourself to Him, and then you shall see that He will take care of you and He will help you. He will help you to make it if you make the decision. If your faith is finished, continue with your love. Even if you don't have enough faith, continue loving Him. Say, "I don't have faith, I'm not sure, I am fearful, but I love you. I love you, I love you, Jesus." You are about to pray for a healing, but your faith is weak. You say, "Jesus, my faith is weak, but your love is great. And I pray for this man in the name of your love." Romans 8:32. "And He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is He that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecutions, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We, we are either the bride of Christ or we are trying to be, we are killed all day long and accounted as sheep for the slaughter by the Laodicea churches. You know, we are talked against by the passive churches. As it is written, for thy sake, Lord, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We that are here in the trench fighting every day, or at least we are trying to, we are considered silly, stupid, imbeciles, heretics, terrible people, heretics, and so on. All kinds of names they give us. Why? Because we are not part of their chicken pen. We are not part of their ghetto, and neither do I want to be. Can I just belong to Jesus and nothing else? No, I have to be Pentabaptist Catholic. Who says I have to be Pentecostal Baptist Catholic? What is it written that? Nowhere is written. 37, Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, no height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able, in other words, no other devils, no other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Rebuke the devil right away. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. What did Jesus say to the religious people of his time? What did Jesus say to the people of his time? Jesus wasn't very kind to the religious of his time, okay? He wasn't a sugary preacher like some of these preachers today. Read Matthew 12, 34 through 37. Generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good fruits, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words you shall be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Our words form our personality, form our character. If we don't preach the gospel, we have chosen to form a character which is good for nothing, a silly character, a character which when the mark of the beast comes, you won't be able to withstand it. But how can I do without the cappuccino? How can I do without the TV? How can I do without the bancomat? How can I do without the bank? How can I do without my commodities and without my car? Simply, you die. Die like all the martyrs. Excuse me. You know, nowadays, martyrs are not anymore in fashion, you know? They're not in fashion anymore, martyrs these days. So, brethren, let's be ready to be martyrs for Christ, okay? In Greek, witness, it's martyr. Being a witness means being a martyr. It's the same word. So when we are witnessing Christ, often we will have to be martyrs as well. That's how it was in the beginning. You know, a witness desires the cross, even though he's crying and the cross hurts him. He desires it. He desires it because of his love for Christ. People say we are fanatics, but you know what? I don't understand how can someone be a Christian without being a fanatic for Christ. We want to hug the cross and desire it out of love for him. The politicians and certain religions have two personalities. One, a false one, the one that they show in public, and another one which shows their true purposes, purposes which they cannot confess in front of people. You know, those religion interests which they have, or their selfishness, they cannot confess it. So they have two personalities. They have a mask on their face. We cannot have a mask on our face, okay? We need to be one personality. One personality, one face, one character in our way of life, not just in our words. All the time we need to be the same. We cannot have two masks on. You have to have one character, one face in front of people. If we are double, if we have a double personality with a double tongue, how can you heal the sick and cast out the demons and love God with all your heart? How can you cast out the demon if in your heart you are half heart and you're undecided? Oh, will it really work? How can you love God with all your heart if your other half a heart doesn't belong to God? Okay? That's a double heart man. A double heart man with half a heart for God, he will never be the bride of Christ. It's not easy. It's not easy to be the bride of Christ, and neither will it be easy to die for Christ. But when the time comes, I hope God will give me the grace for it. I want to be able to make it by His grace. For this reason, God tells us, Deuteronomy 36 through 11. Deuteronomy 36 through 11. And the Lord thy God will circumcise your heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God, verse 6, this is the goal of everything, okay? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all you are, that you may live. Because this is the real purpose in life, okay? Love, loving God. The world today is the way it is because they don't put this scripture in practice. There is no love. Verse 7, and the Lord thy God would put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. Which is the condition to this? Verse 8, and you shall return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments which I command thee this day. And then the blessings will come. If we put all our heart, okay? Brethren are writing to us full of curses because they didn't give God their whole heart. That's why the devil comes and out, comes in and out their heart and their life, because their heart is not fully for God. Their heart needs to be fully for Jesus, so the devil will have no place in their heart. You know what? You cannot hear God's voice if you don't give him your whole heart. And if you don't give him your heart and you don't hear God's voice, then you won't be able to discern when the devil speaks to you. You won't be able to discern what the devil is doing. God gave you all the gifts you need. All the weapons that you need are there for you. It's everything written in the Bible, but you are too busy with the world. So, of course, because you're busy with the world, you won't know right from wrong and you won't have the weapons to fight and win. Verse 9, and the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn unto the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Again, it's repeated here, something. If it's repeated, that means it's important. If God continues to repeat it, to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, that means it's also for our interest to do this. Because if we don't love him with all our hearts, we will love the world and the money, and therefore the devil. You will love the devil with all your heart. You're going to go back to what Adam and Eve did. They took the devil and put him in the throne of their hearts. 11. For this commandment which I give thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far from thee. It's not too difficult, neither is it far from thee. Brother Joseph, Angela says, I think you have formed your own character after the Bible. Your character is formed after the Bible. Joseph says, yes, it's true. I never really went to school. I'm a self-taught. And ever since I was young, I was growing in Christ. And then from 25 year old, I received the Holy Spirit. And it's been 4 years that I've been studying the Bible, living it. And therefore, yes, I did form my character from the Bible in Christ. The schools today are like brainwashing. The schools are programming people these days. You know what they're doing now? They want to program you about homosexuality, and they form your character in your mind according to a bunch of perversions. Angela is saying, what spoke to me of the message that you gave is that we form our character in the intimacy of our hearts and of our minds. And it is true that in front of people, it's not necessarily who we are. In front of people, we might want to put up the best show. But in the intimacy of your heart, you know who you truly are. In the intimacy of your heart and mind is when you rebuke the devil. You rebuke the devil and you form yourself in God. You form yourself the character after God. Deuteronomy 36, let's read it again. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed to love the Lord with all your heart. This morning I was thinking about circumcision, Joseph says, and the Lord told me something about it. The Lord told me what it means, this symbol of circumcision. When you circumcise, you tie the ligament of flesh. And cutting this, you cut the ligament of the flesh. This represents the separation between the flesh and the spirit, between the pain of the evil and the lies of this world, and the truth and joy of His kingdom. What God intended through the flesh circumcision, His goal was to bring us to the circumcision in the spirit. Like in verse 6, it says, God will circumcise your heart. The flesh circumcision was just a symbol. And this symbol represented for us the separation between the flesh and the spirit, okay? Circumcision cuts the ligament of the flesh, represent the separation between the flesh and the spirit. The goal of the circumcision was to bring us to the circumcision in the spirit, to circumcise our hearts and our souls and our acts to be separated from what the devil is doing, okay? The devil, all that he's doing in this world, in our life, in our mind, in our family. So the circumcision of this flesh represented the circumcision of the spirit to cut away and separate us and make ourselves give ourselves fully to God, to Christ, to His truth, to His gospel, to His work, with all our hearts and with all our minds and with all our soul. So being separated unto God completely, putting Him first, putting Isaac on the altar, putting Isaac on the altar and separating ourselves from the world unto God fully, putting Him first. And if one day God will give us back the Isaac, we will be blessed. We need to give ourselves to God and put Isaac on the altar. And then if God gives it back to you, then it was from God. But if He doesn't give it back to you, that means it wasn't from God. It wasn't from God and it wasn't good for you. And it wasn't good for you. That's why God didn't give it back to you. Praise the Lord. When the Lord takes an Isaac away from us, it means that wasn't good for us. If He would be good, He will give it back to us. If He doesn't give it to us, thank you, Jesus, You didn't give it back to us. One of the greatest blessings is that God doesn't answer all your prayers. How many wrong prayers we do, right? The Protestants who pray against the Catholics and the Catholics who pray against the Protestants. it's more the Protestants praying against the Catholics. You know, the Catholics are not as bad as you Protestants. You Protestants are rebuking them from the street corners, speaking against them. The Catholics have a lot of love. You shouldn't do this. What do I see? The message continues. I see Jesus in Gethsemane, and he's asking God, take away the cup from me. Take away the cup from me. I want the peace I had before this Calvary. But God doesn't give him. God doesn't give it to him. And then what do people do in these kind of situations? They become murmurers. They become Judases. And they blame God for the lack of love because he didn't take away the cup from them. But Jesus didn't do this. Jesus prayed. And he sees the Calvary that is the right thing to do. Jesus looks at the Calvary and he sees you and he sees me and he sees the world is going to hell. So Jesus takes the cup and he drinks it. He wakes up and he rebukes the disciples who are sleeping. And he tells them the 30 pieces of silver guy is coming. And thank God for Jesus' choice. We are saved because of that. Hell was overcome, and we are in God's kingdom. Glory to God. And this was because Jesus drank the cup. And because God didn't answer Jesus' prayer to take away the cup, okay? God didn't answer his prayer, and the cup didn't go away. Jesus drank it. Jesus drank it, and we are saved. When hard things are happening to us, don't harden your heart. Don't become like a Judah. Oh, my son died. My son died, and now I'm going to turn away and go against God. No, don't do that. Don't do that. God knows why he allowed it. God knows why he allowed it. It's not God's will what happened. Usually it's not God's will that happened. The devil is the one that killed your son, not God. Not God. God sent Jesus to save us. God sent the Holy Spirit to help us. Now it's our turn to rebuke the devil. Jesus will not come back to go die again on the cross. It's our time now to be on the cross. It's our time now to do greater works than Jesus because we have the Holy Spirit. But if we are too in love with the world and too little with Jesus, if we know more the TV than the Bible, ciao, the devil will eat you like a snack. Jesus did what he could on the Calvary, okay? If you know that something evil happened to you, know this, that it wasn't God, okay? You just continue loving God, and you pray, against the devil's attacks in your life. You pray against it. Out of here, devil. I don't accept you. I don't accept you. So if we see the devil in action, then we have to do our part. Jesus did his part on the Calvary. Now it's our part to rebuke the devil, okay, and not let him control our life and give us sickness. We better fight against the devil. It's our turn now. So, the personality, the true spirit of Jesus, it didn't change hypocritically in Gethsemane, in front of the Calvary, in front of the cross. Jesus in Gethsemane was the same. He was the same. And we have to have the same character, the same personality from morning to evening. We have to pray to have one character, one God, one love, one faithfulness, one decision, one life, one direction. And if we don't have it, wake up. Because we don't want to be a sleepy church. Either we wake up or we wake up. You choose. Okay? What did Judah do? What did Judah do? And even Peter a little bit. They changed character. In front of the difficulty, Judah says, 30 pieces of silver, it's easier than a cross. Only if we love Jesus with all our hearts and without a half a heart, in front of our Gethsemane and in front of our Calvary, then we can go on without any doubts that we have only one personality, without thinking, which is the mask I should put on now, the hypocritical one or the sincere one? No, you're going to be the same in public and in private. If you feel like crying, cry. If you feel like laughing, laugh. But sometimes maybe your character is wrong. Then you pray. Pray and ask God to change your character and your behavior. You notice your hypocrisy and you pray for change. You pray for change so you can have the real personality that God gave you. So you don't act in hypocrisy. Okay? Be sincere and honest. You know what Shakespeare said? He said, if you canst be honest to thine own self, thou will not be false to any man. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, help us to be sincere with God, with Jesus, with the sheep, with ourselves. When we give ourselves to God with all our hearts, then we become His bride. And then God tells us, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart. So we have to give ourselves to Him with all our hearts. And the Lord will circumcise our heart and will make us be the bride of Christ and will choose us. If I would be looking for a wife, I'm not looking for a wife. But if I would look around for a wife, most girls being superficial and frivolous, music, ice cream, discotheque and whatnot, they are not worth anything, these girlfriends. But then maybe I find a girl with few words. I'll find a girl with a few words. I see a girl who maybe is not the greatest of the greatest, but I see something. What's the most beautiful thing in a girlfriend? That she does things not for her interest, but for the interest of the boyfriend. There are things that you cannot hide, okay? There are things which you cannot pretend. It's not just eating in a restaurant and kissing. That's nothing. The crises are important for a relationship. Gethsemane periods are important for a relationship. To go through that, you need to wait and wait and wait and wait, okay? Wait until the hearts are shown through a crisis, what's in their hearts, and then you will know what's in their hearts. Otherwise, you cannot know if it's the right or the wrong girl. But when you see a girlfriend that forgives the boyfriend and that looks for his interest and not for hers, then you think, wow, this is the girl I want. I'm looking for such a girl. There will be a lot to say about this subject, but we can stop here. God bless you, dearest brethren.